Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to Cracker Classics, weekly podcast where I have trouble controlling the volume of my voice. We also take a classic movie, watch it, see if it sucks. That old chestnut, you know. This week we're going to take a sword to a chestnut and slash it up with cryptic symbols. It's not a cryptic symbol, it's a Z, but does it mean anything?
Course it does. It means Zorro. Everyone knows
But
that.
it's the mark of Zorro.
Zorro is the masked vigilante who's setting the wrong things right.
But
Wait, that's the crow.
wasn't he Robin Hood with a sword and a hat? Wait, Robin Hood had a hat. Spanish Robin Hood.
There you go.
Let's go with that.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. This is 1940.
Yep.
Tyrone Power, Basil Rathbone.
Yay.
I thought there was someone else I saw.
Oh, probably.
I don't remember. I'm not up on the Zorro canon. I always got the vibe that every movie was pretty much the same.
You're not really wrong on
I'm
that.
sure not.
Just like every Robin Hood movie is the same, and
Well, I think there have been less Robin Hoods than Zorros, though.
I don't know about that. There's been a lot of Robin Hoods,
That's fair.
but it's usually just the one basic story. There are different episodes of Zorro, I suppose.
Yeah, we try to tell a different story, but it ends up being the
It's
same
pretty much
story.
the same, but changed enough that they don't have to pay us.
But this is the mark of Zorro.
Yes.
So, is there a scam? A pyramid scheme? Is Zorro the mark?
Think it's just the origin story.
Oh, how Zorro got his Z.
Yes.
Is this the inspiration for how Stella got her groove back?
Probably.
Zorro got his mask back.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect going in here. I mean, it's 1940, so the code.
Yeah, but good sword fighting.
Well, of course, we'll still have the violence. Code never cared about violence. You just can't, you know, when you cut the Z into the lingerie, it's got to be the midriff area without showing the navel.
And other sword wounds just can't have blood and things like that, right? Could you show
Yeah.
blood and like little bits? Yeah,
Ish.
little bits, yeah.
If it gave the Pope nightmares, then no.
No
Well, the
Kurosawa.
American Pope. If Hayes had a nightmare over it, it was a no-go.
Ugh.
This is New World of like Spanish California or something, isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, it says it's a Western.
So probably,
Yeah.
maybe Mexico.
It could be Mexico too, yeah.
Yeah. I never really learned much Zorro lore, so
No.
I watched all the Antonio Banderas movies, but I remember nothing.
Yeah,
Except for him cutting Catherine Zeta-Jones' dress straps, because
because of course.
I'm a red-blooded American male. I'm not going to deny it.
What are you
It's
trying to
very
say?
memorable. Straight male. Sorry. Needed to make that distinction.
Say that like that's the only part that I don't remember. Well, I say that like I've seen it. I've seen that.
Well, shall we get to this?
Yeah, we'll get started so we have something to talk about. Because this could be a bunch of nothing of just swords and.
I don't know. I took the recommendation from YouTube sensation Jill Barup, and the last recommendation she gave us was phenomenal. So,
What was that?
that was the court jester.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a resounding endorsement then.
Pretty
Okay.
much.
Let's see if this is as hilarious as The Court Jester.
I don't know if it's the same kind of movie. she's a stage combat expert, so she talks about sword fights and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go and see how unintentionally funny this is.
We'll be back with some bad jokes in our intermission impression.
And some Z's. Be that a mark or sleeping, we'll see. Well, we've met our cast of characters. We've got Friar Tuck and two Maid Marians. That's really just the one Maid Marian.
We've got one Maid Marian, and her auntie doesn't really have a parallel.
No, she's just the wife of Prince John.
Sir Hiss?
No, that Wrathbone is kind of Hiss.
Well, yeah, that's true. No, Wrathbone's more the Sheriff of Nottingham.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly who he is. Just didn't he play the Sheriff of Nottingham?
Yes. I think he did.
And Eugene Pallett, who played the Friar in this movie, also played Friar Tuck in The Adventures of Robin Hood.
Uh-huh. And Zorro means fox. And Disney's Robin Hood was a fox.
I never put that together before. Yeah. Not to mention that there's so many white people for Spanish California. I mean, that's to be expected. It's 1940 Hollywood, and anyone could play a Spanish person if you just put them in a mustache.
Yeah.
A sombrero. Mm-hmm. To be fair, all the extras, I'm pretty sure, are Hispanic.
Most of them,
yeah. They just don't have speaking parts. Yeah, this is...
I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
Okay. My interest is not piqued. All I am doing is finding parallels to Robin Hood. And it's not exciting me in any way. Even his Z's that he's carving are almost illegible.
Yeah, his penmanship with his sword tip is not the best.
It's not as suave as it should be with Zorro.
Yeah.
If someone who could master a sword like he's supposed to, he should be able to carve a nice-looking Z into the stucco.
Yep.
Because once again, we have well-off people thinking that they're going to do the work of the people and help them. Sorta. I mean, there's been a lot of excuses more than anything.
Yeah.
But then Zorro magically shows up. And are we supposed to not know who Zorro is yet? Or...
I think we're...
It's pretty obvious, I mean, I think.
We are supposed to know who Zorro is. The fact that no one else figured out that the former... I forget what the word for the leader...
Alcalde.
Alcalde, yeah. The son of the former Alcalde shows up, and then, oh my god, there's a vigilante.
And all of a sudden, yeah.
That's completely unrelated. It's gotta be, right?
Like parallels to Batman there.
Although he has been playing up the spoiled rich kid, so yeah, there's your Batman parallel. Mm-hmm. He Bruce Wayne's like a motherfucker, and then...
Which was kind of smart on his end.
Yeah, yeah.
He had that whole spiel about how swords are too violent, and
yep,
it's not
yep.
his thing, when we totally saw him at the beginning.
Yeah, and he was like, no, Daddy, I do magic.
Yeah. I hope that comes back.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow we get into some weird sleight of hand showdown, and he uses magic to cut a guy's head off or something. I don't know.
I don't know how you're not enjoying this. This is, I mean, there's excellent tension building. Like, the world is reasonable. The characters are a little flat, but... There's enough dimension that there's something going on. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's still a 40s movie, so there's as much character development as any 40s movie.
I guess that's my big issue here. There's not people that I'm relating to. There's not people that I can
consider
human enough to...
We've only met the aristocrats. That's fair.
Yeah, and we're only going to meet the aristocrats, too.
Well, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. They keep calling them peons. And I meant to look that up. Because that can't be right.
I think that is right.
Social category. Person subject to peonage.
Yep.
Any form of wage labor, financial exploitation, course of economic practice.
Yeah.
Got it. Also known as a pawn. So that is apt.
Yep.
We just decided to take it literally in English as a peon. But the way this dialogue is written, it's kind of obvious that we are referring to them, you know, we're talking at them.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a endearing human interest story of...
No,
and it's about how the rich could come in and save you.
But yeah, they haven't been given any sort of agency mm-hmm. or character or humanity.
Yep.
Which is different from Robin Hood. We actually meet some of the peons.
Yeah.
And they're real people. And that hasn't happened
yet. And they join the cause, too.
Yeah, yeah.
One fundamental difference between Zorro and Robin Hood is yeah. Robin Hood has a band
yep.
around him. And Zorro, so far, it's just Zorro.
Just Zorro, yeah. Even Batman had the Bat Family.
Yeah, that's true. But how much did he pay for the Bat Family?
A couple of acrobats.
Well, talent's expensive. Just ask SAG-AFTRA. There's weirdness to this movie, though.
I'm not denying that, but I am enjoying it.
I'm not keen on this developing love interest going on. If we can call it that.
You shouldn't go to a convent. You're too pretty. You could make babies for God.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's trying to pretend to be a priest in that moment, but good Lord.
Which, there's issues with that. I mean, there's one thing of, you know, seeking sanctuary in a church. There's another point of just posing as a monk and offering unsolicited advice. Well, it wasn't unsolicited. No, she was asking.
She did ask for it.
But unwise advice?
I just realized how that sounded. She was asking for it. But, not exactly. She was asking for counsel from a man of the cloth. You should make babies, yeah. You're pretty, from a guy pretending to be a man of the cloth.
Well, she went in there assuming she was going to talk to the same guy she always talks to. And it was, no, I'm Fray Pablo.
Yeah.
Not Ramon.
Yeah.
I'm from the church two towns over.
From Canada. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, don't look at my face. My handsome, devilish face.
It is a handsome face.
It is Tyrone Power.
Yep.
I can't deny his suave good looks.
They are undeniable.
So they're trying to make them Spanish suave good looks. Doesn't work for an Irish actor. I was looking at the cast, and there's hardly anyone in a credited role that has anything Hispanic about them. There was one or two Greeks.
Wait, you mean Basil isn't, Rathbone is not a Mexican surname?
He may have a little bit of everything in him, honestly. Though if he did by this point, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Basil Rathbone is like one of the most English names I can think of.
He was actually South African.
Was he?
He was born in Johannesburg. Which just means English colonist. I mean. Which is why he's really good at faking it.
He is really good. I love Basil.
He was the scion of the Liverpool Rathbone family.
See? He is British.
But yeah, he was definitely very British.
It's a very British name. It's a ridiculously British name.
He's the great-grandson of noted Victorian philanthropist William Rathbone V, and thus a descendant of William Rathbone II.
Oh, I would not have guessed. But not of William Rathbone IV? It's not clear.
Those must not have been well-known enough names to have had a Wikipedia article. They did flee back to Britain when Basil was 3 because of the Boer War.
Makes sense.
But yeah, he's got a little colonist in him, so that's why he can do that.
Oh, yeah. That's why he plays such a damn good villain.
Yeah. That's one thing this movie has going for it. The villainy.
yeah.
is very believable and very good.
It's very realistic. It's not caricatured. Mm-hmm. It is, but it isn't. Like,
it still feels carbon copy Robin Hood. Because this whole taxes thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, clearly the guy in charge, that the current alcalde, is a simpering ninny who's only getting his power from money.
Yep.
That he doesn't really deserve anyway.
And he uses that money to support a military that does violence on his behalf.
So he can raise more money.
Yep.
But that also tracks for villainy.
Yep.
Most villains, at their core, are a bit weak.
That's the nature of the thing.
You're
terrified of not being super rich and powerful.
Or being perceived as super rich and powerful.
Well, perception is...
key.
Yeah. Power perceived is power achieved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then... Tyrone Power here, I forget his character's name.
Zorro?
Well, not Zorro. His hierarchical name.
His Bruce Wayne name.
Yes.
It's because that doesn't matter. He's Zorro.
Fair. He's trying to flip that idea on its head, though, of power perceived. Is power achieved? Because he actually has power.
But he's also not trying to... I mean, he's not using it in a look how powerful I am way, either. Mm-hmm. He's just exercising the power he has.
That he has, yeah.
Instead of, yeah.
Isn't that actual power? True power?
Yeah.
I believe it, wasn't it from Schindler's List? Power is having the ability to kill and not doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's that addition of strength that weak people don't understand. Because all they want is the power, not realizing that there's strength that needs to go with it that actually gives you power.
Yeah.
And when you have that strength, you realize what you're supposed to do with your power.
Well, one hopes. It's not always the case.
That's fair. We are dealing with a very Hollywood story here.
And, I mean, Basil Rathbone has actual power. He is no slouch with that sword.
That's true. Yeah, we are going to have a showdown of crossing swords, aren't we?
Well, that's how I learned about this movie.
By crossing swords.
Well, Jill told me about the crossing swords.
It's not going to go that way, I know.
She broke down the fight, and that's so I was like, yeah, I'll watch whatever's around this. I'm fine with that. It's a good fight.
Yet another Basil Rathbone swashbuckling story.
Well, the man can actually... sword fight, so, and apparently so can Tyrone Power.
I believe
they both have skills, so.
The skills that Errol Flynn only wish he had.
Pretty much. Yeah. Anyway, shall we check out the exercising of said skills?
Yeah, let's see what sort of conclusion we reach here and how...
If you fall asleep before the end or not.
We'll see. Be back for our curtain call and the crossing of swords.
Ooh.
Not safe for work, kids.
Art thou still disappointed?
It was fine.
Well, I had fun.
It still descended into Adventures of Robin Hood chaos at the end.
Well, yeah.
Not saying this sucks. I guess I didn't care.
Clearly.
Batman meets Robin Hood.
Yeah, yeah.
In colonial Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And only one guy dies in the end. And it was a weak death.
The spectacular sword fight preceding it,
in my
though.
Heart.
Yeah, but that sword fight preceding it was a damn fine sword fight.
Yeah, that was good. Like most things, though, Danny Kaye did it better.
That's valid. I will not argue that point.
Maybe I'm just getting really sick of this story of the rich guy coming in to save the poor. Because it doesn't actually ever fucking happen.
That's true.
All it's done is made more money for the rich people who made the movies. I say this having just rented this movie on Amazon.
You're part of the problem, Ian.
No way. We all.
Well, yeah, that's kind of how it's set up, so that everybody's part of the problem.
Yeah. We all go to the bad place.
Yeah.
According to our merits.
Well, when you're living in a society that doesn't allow for the sort of merits that send you to the good place, then yeah.
Because we're already going to the good place. It's written, that's why.
Yeah.
You're going to the bad place because it's written, that's why. So it doesn't matter what I do and it doesn't matter what you do, because you're going to the bad place and I'm going to the good place. Uh-huh.
I gotta write something else.
It doesn't really come up in here. This is just your classic flat tale of greedy rich man defeated by slightly less greedy rich man.
By imaginary magnanimous rich man.
Yeah. Rich guy who sees the advantage in other people having money too. He's also weird among women and is a two-faced shapeshifter. And I don't know, there were levels to his character that, I mean, yeah, there's that charming suave about it, but it was also really fucking two-faced.
But Ian, he used his treachery for good.
Mostly. The love story in here, again, it feels very jilted. Very,
jilted?
Well, jilted is not the right word. It feels very...
superficial?
Flat. Superficial, yes.
Yes.
Mainly because Lolita is not a fully developed person.
Not just because she's 17, but...
Yeah. There was also the complete subterfuge and lying to her. And she was okay with that in the end when she found it all out.
Yeah. That's how romance has worked for centuries, Ian.
Uh-huh.
You lie to get them into bed and then they find out they're okay with it.
But she hadn't gotten into bed yet.
Well, I mean, back then
we
it was
show
marriage.
That.
You know, lie to get him into marriage, and then once they're trapped, oh, they're okay with it.
Even that was a lie. Because there was this setup for marriage, and she wasn't involved in it. She knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
I understand that's kind of how things were done back then, but normally wasn't there at least some idea that you knew it was gonna happen? She had no idea.
Yeah. It was just, hey, you're getting married.
Really? To who? To this guy? Who approved that? I missed that meeting. I mean, it didn't help that he presented himself as a complete fop.
Well, he had to.
That was the cover.
Yeah.
Which worked, mostly.
Yep.
But in hindsight, like, he was really laying it on thick.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand most of the villains in this are pretty dumb, but...
But a lot of the fops really did act like that.
That's fair. I don't know. I'm not saying this was a terrible movie, but there's definitely things to it. I'm like, I don't know.
I mean, Basil Rathbone was the best part of this movie.
True.
Which, not trying to knock Basil with that at all, because he's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I love him, but yeah.
It was also just Basil Rathbone being Basil Rathbone.
Does he need to do anything else?
I guess not. Maybe I'm just bored with him now. I don't know.
I don't know how you could ever be bored with him.
I've had my fill of ham, I suppose.
But he's deviled ham.
Most times, yes. It is a perfectly fine movie. There really wasn't, like, glaring, whoa, problems. But it also felt just very run-of-the-mill for me.
That's fair. I could give it that. There was nothing standoutish about it.
Yeah.
It was perfectly delightful, but...
Almost like I've seen this before, you know?
You know, half dozen times or so.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it didn't really add anything new to that idea.
Mm-hmm. Aside from nepotism and going back to the status quo.
Well, they all kind of have that.
Well, I guess you're right. The whole, my predecessor will be taking over. Yep. That tends to happen. We just, a la Simpsons episode, everything goes back to normal at the end of the movie.
King Richard comes back.
Yeah.
The Joker escapes from Arkham. you know, it's...
That's fair. Because everything was ostensibly perfect before this one change in the space-time continuum, you know.
The wrong man sat atop the pile of power.
Yeah. The pile of skulls.
Yep, yep.
Well, you are right. We love our status quo.
Yeah.
Even when it's shit.
Yeah. Nothing material will change. We'll just think we like the new old guy better.
It will get us to appreciate what we already have and the suffering that we're used to.
Yeah, yeah, because it could always be worse.
Mm-hmm. That's
but it can thing. Never yeah. be better.
Because that goes against our interests.
Yeah.
That whole status quo thing, it's...
Every so often, someone will rob from the rich and give to the poor, but at no point will we eliminate rich and poor. It doesn't work for the rich.
No, and for the most part, no one's really campaigning for that. I mean, there's definitely people who are, who, you know, behead the rich and put their heads on pikes, landing Wall Street and all that stuff. But I don't think anyone sees that as a feasible option. there just seems to be a consensus of the disparity that's in place needs to be less. There's always going to be rich and poor, but the fact that we have obscenely rich and obscenely poor right now is a huge problem.
Yeah, I personally disagree with that. I don't see a need for rich and poor.
I don't either, but we are two people out of 8 billion, and there's a lot of people who like their golden calves.
That's true.
So, you gotta have someone to look up to. Someone who's better than you, that inspires you to be better.
Oh, if only people better than me were actually better than me, maybe I could agree with that.
That's a kink in the...
Maybe I could agree with that.
Yeah.
But, anyway...
One issue with modern news and whatnot that we hadn't worked out is we get to know more about the people. Like, all about them. Turns out they're not better than us just because they have more than us.
Yep.
Whoops.
The markers of wealth and power do not indicate superiority.
Again, tell that to the 8 billion other people. It's, yeah.
Well, most of them are too caught up in... Licking
surviving.
Boots. Yeah. Licking boots does offer a certain level of survival.
We've all found our ways to get by. Sometimes it's just in the short term.
Yep.
Sometimes you have pushed that too far, and it ain't working anymore, but you're still doing it because you don't know any other way.
What else can you do?
Here you are. Somehow you're still surviving. But is that even worth it anymore, given what you're doing? I don't know.
I don't either.
It's, yeah. A story like this doesn't really help, though. Because it still
Not
gives
anymore.
That notion of someone will come and save you.
Yeah.
There is a hero, and he's looking up for you, because he knows who the fuck you are, and that you exist.
And that you matter.
Uh-huh. And he's one fine day, when it's your lucky day, he'll be coming for you. I think that's my other issue I have with these stories, is it just has become a pipe dream.
Yeah.
There is no hero. You can only be your own hero. And I know that that's dark and...
That means bald. Effort.
Yeah.
I want to be lazy.
I understand that. Not saying you have to be your own hero. But okay. If you're expecting someone else to do it for you, good lord. It becomes like everything else. And you may as well just go to the welfare line. Then the government could be your hero. And then you could be a hypocrite.
I guess.
Though, to be fair, it was a member of the aristocracy who's the hero in this story, and the aristocracy was basically upheld by the government, and that the government structure here is so... Essentially, yeah. The government is the hero. And it's just one faction of the government.
Yeah. Can't let the other faction pull the strings.
Clearly, Quintero just went rogue.
You have to let the right faction pull the strings.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's how it works.
There was at least somewhat of a lesson in here about greed. Because we saw that with Quintero and his wife. I mean, ultimately, his wife was a harmless character. She was...
Was she, though?
She wasn't like a Lady Macbeth.
No, but it was her desire for all the fancy things that helped push Luis into trying to wring more and more out of the peons.
That's fair. And he was too damn weak to do anything about it aside from, okay, sweetie.
Yeah, exactly. Can't say no to your
wife. Your wish is my command. He couldn't say no to anybody.
You know, that's...
few choice words. Make it sound like he's gonna get in trouble, and he would just fold like a stack of laundry.
Oh, God. Well, thank you for turning the small amount of delight I had from this movie into absolute despair.
I'm gonna go that far.
Anyway, if y'all want to be our heroes, we've got a Patreon.
In a capitalist world, the only way you could be a hero is by paying up. It's true.
I hate capitalism so much.
That's patreon.com/crackerclassics.
There's a website and an email. Lord knows what good those do.
Send us your threats, Zora. crackerclassics@gmail.com.
And we'll still be here next week, unless Zorro decides to kill us.
We ain't rich enough for that.
Yet.
No.
Yet.
So yeah, we'll see you next week. And don't be a worthless aristocrat.
Don't be an aristocrat. Fuck.
Well, if you're born into it, you can't help it. But you can do something about it after being born into it. They won't. They never do.
No.
All right, don't be negative. Thank you, folks.
Bye.